Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 176. 176. Sing hymn number 355. 355.
Retreat. Good evening. Let's all turn together for our scripture reading to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Our kind and gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come before you with gladness in our hearts and bow before you. And we gladly bow, and we thank you for the word that's been read. We ask you, Lord, to make it effectual to our hearts. Apart from your Spirit, the words are just words on a page, but your Spirit can give them life. Your Spirit can open our eyes and our hearts and make them effectual. And we ask you, Lord, as we open your word in the service, as it's preached tonight, that you'd send your Spirit and cause the word to speak to our hearts, cause your word to move us, to affect us, to teach us and instruct us. Cause your word to see Christ. May we see him afresh tonight. Show us more of his beauty. Show us more of his glory. We know we've seen such a small part of Christ and his glory. Help us to honor him tonight. Help us to lift him up. Help us to believe him and trust him. Thankful for the salvation that we have in him, that is an eternal salvation, eternal redemption. All that's around us is fleeting, fading, dying and decaying. But our salvation, our home, our eternal home is secure in Christ Jesus our Lord, who's seated at thy right hand, our forerunner who has entered and prepares a place for us eternal in the heavens. And we're so thankful that we can be at peace in this world of sin, this world of decay, this world that's fading and fleeting, that we have that eternal place at your blessed feet. Thank you for the gospel that's preached here. Continue to maintain it, sustain it. Give us an ability and a desire to come and support the work and come and hear the word preached. Save the lost sheep in our midst, our children, our grandchildren that don't yet know you. Lord, ask that you'd go and visit them and their sin and their unbelief. Cause them to see their need of Christ. Help us to honor you in this service tonight. Be with our pastor as he leads us. Help us as we open our Bibles and follow along and listen. Give us grace to worship. Thank you for the grace you've given us and ask you for continued grace in this hour. And as we leave this place, may your grace go with us. Oh, how we need your grace and your mercy, your guidance, your keeping power. Thank you once again for this gathering of thy people, for this time of worship. Honor thyself in Christ's dear name. Amen.
On page 30 in our course books, we'll sing Living by Faith. Page 30 in the course books.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is Jesus walks close to my side. Living by faith,
living by faith
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above.
Trusting and fighting in His great love,
yes, in His great love.
Hebrews chapter 12. I preached recently on Christ our Atonement. Tonight I'm going to preach the author and finisher of our faith, and God willing, I'll deal with Him as our ark, as our altar, and our advocate. And then I'll see if I can start on the B's. I know two right off the top of my head where he starts with B. A brother, and the branch. And I tell you, another A, Alpha and Omega. That's what I say. You know, how in the world we go, you know, you open the scriptures and there's the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in first two verses here, in Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing also we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. The author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ truly, truly is all in all to His people. Christ is all and in all. He is precious. Peter said He is precious to them who believe. And I know He's precious. He is so precious. I mean, what would we do without Him? How could we live without Him? I just can't imagine life without Christ now. Can you? Can't do it. I just can't. But here He is called the author of our faith. And I tell you what, but now we see the one, he as the author of our faith, He's the one who gives us faith. Not only does He give us faith, but He finishes our faith. And this word author is found three times in the New Testament. And every one of them relates to the Lord Jesus Christ and an office He has. Three times. In Acts chapter 5, He's called the Prince of Life. And that means the author of life. Now, before you can be an author of life, you have to have life in yourself. You have to have life. You can't be an author of life in anybody else if you don't possess it in yourself. So, and then also, he's called a prince and a savior. The author, an author and a savior. The author. And then when he's called the captain of our salvation, he's the author. Author. And that means the one who begins, the one who originates with. And that's what he's talking about. Our salvation originates with Christ. He's the author of our life. He's the author as our Savior. And here he's called the author and finisher of our faith. Now, faith has two meanings. Two meanings in the Scriptures. First of all, faith means believing. Our Lord said, "He that believeth on me shall have everlasting life. He that cometh to me must believe that he is." So it's believing. It's believing. And we call ourselves believers. And then second thing about faith is what is believed. Now, just believing, you know, I believe the earth is round. There's people who believe it's flat. And I believe that God created the word by a world. And then there's people believe in evolution. So there's a lot of people believe a lot of things. But when we're talking about believing, we're talking about believing on Christ, talking about our Lord Jesus. He comes and we believe on him. And I believe, and that's why that one man said, "Lord, I believe. You know I believe. I do believe. But help thou my unbelief." And I think that scripture says, "Let us lay aside the weight which sin which so easily besets us." I think there's the sin that so easily besets us is unbelief. We get in trouble. We get careless. We get cold and we get indifferent. And an unbelief is an horrible thing. And yet we come and say, "Lord, I believe. You know I believe. But oh God, help my unbelief." And I tell you then, not only believing, but what is believed. Our Lord Jesus Christ enables us to believe. And then he turns around and teaches us what we are to believe. And what it is has he gives us what we are to believe. Like I preached this morning, you know, about the Holy Ghost. "He shall take the things of Christ, and he shall show them unto you." He'll take mine and show them unto you. And that's what faith does. Faith believes, and then it believes, it has something. People say, "What's your faith?" Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist. I read a bunch of articles here recently, you know, why Baptist? Why Baptist? Big whole bunch of, a lot of stuff about why Baptist. Well, why am I a believer? And what is it that I believe? What is it that I believe? And that's what let's talk about Christ being the author and finisher of our faith. And what does it mean for him to be the author and finisher of our faith? Well, that means that he's the cause of it. He's the cause of it. He's the originator of it. He's the only one that can give it. He's the only one that's got it that he can give it to us. Now, you all know Ephesians 2:8. Everybody knows that. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourself." What is it? It's the gift of God. It's not of works, but of him that gives it to us. Not of works, lest any man should glory. So that faith he's talking about, God gave it to us. Christ gave it to us. He's the author of our faith. If we didn't have Christ, we wouldn't have nothing to believe. What would we believe? And I tell you, man has a nature. He's got a nature that he can believe anytime he wants to. But man has not the nature of the power to believe. He does not have a nature and the power to believe. Now, what in the world is it? And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we talk about the author of our faith, now let me tell you something. When he died and when he shed his blood, he purchased some gifts for all of his people. He bought for us. He bought faith for us. Faith has to be perfect. We don't have perfect faith, but he does. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. The life I now live, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. That's what he's talking about here. He purchased faith for us. Then he gives us gifts. He's the author of everything we have. He gave us eternal life. He gave us repentance. He gave us faith. And if he had brought heaven for us, shed his blood for us, established righteousness for us, what good would it do without faith? What good would it do without him enabling us to believe? And that's why free willism is such a heresy, to think that the men can be talked into believing, and they die by nature God, and they got to exercise it, when everything tells us that it's a gift and we don't have it by nature. I didn't have faith. I know when I didn't have it, now I know I got it. That's it. You know, it's like being dead in sins. You're dead, and then you know when you're alive, when it gives you life. And oh, that's why free will is just awful. It's just awful. And I tell you, it cannot, man by nature cannot look to Christ for faith and look without faith. And I tell you what, the only place you can get faith is Christ to be the author of it. And I'll tell you something else about it. It's a work of power. You know, it's a work of power. It's an absolute miracle. It's a work of power for a sinner to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a work of power for God to give a man faith, for Christ to give a man faith. Now, I want you to see that over here in Ephesians 1. I mean, it takes power. Oh, it takes power. It takes a power, and our Lord shows us what kind of power it is. Most people, when they become a believer, they, you know, like I said this morning, you say, how in the world could I ever believe anything else? Once God gives you faith and opens your understanding and you see the things. But look what he said here in verse 18, Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling of Christ, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now listen to this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, listen to this, who believe. How did we believe? According to the working of his mighty power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that it takes to give us faith. Huh? It takes power to give us faith. Takes power to give it to us. And I want you to see over here in Colossians, right on past Ephesians, go right over to your right to Colossians, and look over here in Colossians chapter 2. And look in verse 10 with me. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. And in Christ, you're circumcised with a circumcision, cleansed without hands. And what circumcision do we have? The putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the cleanliness circumcision of Christ. Now listen, buried with him in baptism, wherein all, and that's that baptism of the Holy Spirit again, wherein also we are risen with him through the faith, and listen to this, of the operation of God. God operates on us to give us faith. Operates on our mind, operates on our hearts, operates on our understanding, operates on our will, operates on our emotions, our affections. He has to operate on us. And it's an operation. And it's God said, I'm going to perform an act for these people. I'm going to change their minds. I'm going to change their wills. I'm going to change their natures. I'm going to change their affections. I'm going to change their emotions. I'm going to change their understanding. And that's what he does. He does it. And to work means to be active. To active. And then not only is he the author of our faith and the cause of our faith. I said the cause of it. But now he's the author of it. Now what He's the cause of it. He gives it to us. He has to give it to us. It's an operation. It's a gift. It's not natural to us. But when he talks about the author of our faith, he is saving faith's object. That's what he is. How can you tell whether your faith is real or not? Do you look to Christ and him alone? Does your faith go outside yourself and look to Christ, the object, Christ being the object of your faith? Not only is he saving faith object, what we look at and look to, but he's also his foundation. He's the foundation of our faith. And that's what he said over here in Hebrews 12, who for the joy set before him despised the shame and endured the cross. He's the author of the means of our faith. Now what's the means that God uses for our faith? Romans 10:17 says this, faith cometh. And how does it come? By hearing. By hearing. And by hearing by the word of God. The gospel, from faith to faith. The gospel brings faith. And it produces faith. And then it brings faith. And it produces faith. And it brings faith. And produces faith. Once you know, that's the thing about it. Faith, every time we hear the gospel, every time we understand the gospel, every time God does something for us, Christ said before, faith says yes, 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 yes. I agree with that. I believe that. And oh my, he sends the Holy Ghost. He sends the word with power. And it's called the seed. When he sends the Holy Ghost with power, it's called the seed. And a seed, the word priest, a seed. Let me say something about that. A seed don't come up immediately when it's first sown. You ever notice put a seed in the ground or a seed in a pot or something like that and it come up just like that? It takes a while for it to sprout. It takes a while for it to come. And that's what the gospel does, and that's what this faith does. God comes along and by the gospel and by the word, and because he's the author of our faith, he sows a seed. He sows a seed in a person's heart and understanding. And then when that faith comes, that faith that Christ gives, that faith that comes as a gift of God and Christ being the author, that faith will all of a sudden spring up and you'll say, I believe, I believe, I do believe. I believe, I do believe. And that's why looking unto Jesus, and you can't look unto Christ without faith. You can't do it. And he gives us faith to look to him. And he's called about endured the cross. He gives us faith to look upon him as the crucified one, as the one who died, the one who on a cross, the one who bore our sins in his own body on that tree. Oh, the blessed Son of God. He despised that shame. That's what he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, oh God. Oh, Father, please let this thing pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Despising the shame that was coming upon him. But oh my, he went to that cross. And why was he crucified? Why was he crucified? I was telling somebody this week, I said, you can ask a lawyer. And you talk to him about law and justice. Law and justice. You know, and everybody, you see all these things and people say when somebody gets murdered or somebody gets killed, they say, I want justice for the person. I want justice for my family. I want justice. And so they got somebody out here and then the law says they're guilty and justice says they got to pay the penalty of breaking that law. And folks are not satisfied until their loved one gets some justice. And that's the way it is with Christ. Christ was crucified because God's justice, because we were offenders, offenders of God, God's justice said, I must have justice. I must have justice for all the sins and offense that you've given me on your lifetime. I've got to have justice. And the Holy Ghost comes and prosecutes us. and convicts us and convinces us. And that's why Christ was crucified. Justice said, I got to have justice. Christ said, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. I'll serve the penalty. I'll serve the penalty of your broken law. I'll serve the penalty of your people's sin. I'll go unto death because of what your people did. And that's what he did. And now God, through Christ, and then Christ gives us the faith to believe on him and what he did. And he satisfied justice. He fulfilled the law. He died. And he rose again. And beloved, that's why he gives us the faith. You know, we wouldn't even know about his crucifixion, what accomplished on his death, had he not gave us that and taught us that and gave us the faith to believe it. Everybody, you know, believes something about Christ being crucified. But it also says here, he endured the cross and now he's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the risen one, exalted one, reigning one, and the coming one. That's why he's the author of our faith. Oh, where did you get your faith? Where'd it come from? You know, if you could go to the drugstore and buy it, most folks would try to anyway. But here's the most mysterious thing, that we cannot believe on Christ until he gives us faith itself. He gives us the faith to believe on him. He gives us everything we need. And I tell you, like I said, you've got to have a perfect faith. Where in the world are we going to get a perfect faith? Your faith is not perfect right now, and mine's not. Mine's not and yours not. Well, where in the world are we going to get it? God said everything that he has to be perfect. Where are we going to get perfect faith at? Christ. His is perfect. That's why we look to him and never look to ourselves. That's why we look outside ourselves and look to him. And his righteousness, oh my. His righteousness is the object. Not only is he the object of our faith and the foundation of our faith, but his righteousness is our justifying faith, is the object of our justifying faith. And I've done quoted that verse of Scripture. You know, it says that Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I died with Christ, yet I'm living. But the life I'm now living, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I'm now living in the flesh, I live by his justifying faith. We sang that old song out, there is no other right. All other ground is sinking sin. There's only one righteousness. One righteousness. And our faith, he gave us the faith and that we look to him as our justification. And we have no justification before God. You know, it's men are so prone to justify themselves and their actions. But oh my, to be justified before God. For God to look at us and say, listen, I find no fault. There's nothing wrong with them. They haven't done anything. They don't have any sin. All they've got is a righteousness. All they've got is an obedience. Oh, that's justifying faith. And this justifying faith enables us to stand justified before the holiness and righteousness of God. We stand right now because of Christ and the faith he gives us. He's the object of our faith that justifies us. It says in Romans 4:25, he was delivered, given up for our offenses, for our sins. But he is raised again. For what? For our justification. What's our justification? What's our justification to be able to approach God? What's our justification that we have no sin? What's our justification that we have faith? What's our justification that we believe the God? What is our justification to call on God and look to God? What is it? Christ. Christ. He justified us. there's two ways that God appointed for people to have life. Two ways God appointed for people to have life, to have attain life. Two ways. Works. Do and live. Do and live. Do and live. And the second way that he's appointed is faith. Huh? Faith. And where he gives justifying faith, saving justifying faith, he takes a man, and listen to me now, he takes a man and he turns him from trusting in himself in any way, from looking to, thinking of, believing in works in any way whatsoever as a contribution to his salvation. I mean, when God gives us justifying faith, we refuse to bring anything other than Christ. Oh my, I know this. What I'm saying is, like the Apostle Paul, he was raised under Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he said. He was the strictest religion, had a zeal like nobody else did. But when God saved him, when God smote him down and God taught him God and revealed Christ to him, you know what he said? He said, I count everything but dung. Everything of the righteousness I had, you know what it is? It's filthy rags. You know what it is? It's junk. You know what it is? It's rotten. You know what it is? It's corrupt. And that's what God does when he gives us justifying faith. We say everything that we ever believed, everything we ever done, and we will not, by God's grace, bring anything to God Almighty but Christ himself. That's how justifying faith is. Huh? Oh, my. We never look or think or believe in any works as contributing to our faith or our salvation. And if it was work, look in Galatians 2. Look in Galatians 2. Let's look together in Galatians 2. Look down here in verse 21. If salvation were of works, and that's what most folks think, do that work means God said, do this and live. Do this and live. And if it was work, there'd be absolutely no need of Christ. I don't know how many times I've told people that. When they talk about their works, I said, well then, if you're trusting in yourself, there's no, Christ is dead in vain. And that's what he says here in verse 21 in Galatians 2. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't make it something that's useless, aggravating, frustrate, has no meaning to it, has no power to it. For if righteousness come by law, by works, you know what? There was no reason in the world for Jesus Christ to die. Ain't that right? The next time somebody starts talking about their self-righteousness and their works and how faithful they are to where they go and all their obedience and all that, and you know, and I've got to live right, got to do this right, that right, and everything else right. Well, I'll tell you, next time they say that, you go Galatians 2:21 and say, if you're saved by what you do, then why in the world was Jesus Christ crucified? What was the purpose in the death of Christ? If Christ didn't save us and Christ didn't justify us, if Christ didn't give us faith, if Christ didn't give us repentance by his death, if he didn't give us everything we needed, then, beloved, he died in vain. And I tell you, we're not going to frustrate. We're not going to make the grace of God void. We're not going to, no, 10,000 times no. And that's the first thing folks want to know. What do you all believe about salvation? What do you believe about works? I believe in one work, one man's work, and that's the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Huh? I ain't never done it. As old Scott Richardson said, it ain't worth spitting on the ground for. We ain't got nothing. Ain't got, never had nothing, and we never will have nothing if we ain't got Christ. But if we got Him, we got everything that God wills for us to have and purposes for us to have. And He has to give us faith to believe Him. He has to give us faith to trust Him. He has to give us faith to see Him on the cross. He has to give us faith to believe that He actually bore our sins in His own body. He has to give us that faith. We wouldn't believe on it if He didn't give it to us. And then, oh my. Look here at Galatians 3 again. Let me show you this in Galatians 3. I done left it, but I'm going to go back over there. Look again in Galatians 3. I don't know why I turned away from it. I got something else here I want to show you. There'd been no need of Christ if our salvation's by works, if salvation's by law. And you know these people have these reformed faith. Man, I don't need reforming. I need regeneration. Can you imagine reforming yourself? Oh, boy. I don't need reforming. I need regenerated. I don't. What would I reform? Only thing I know about reform is reform school. It's just a wonder I didn't end up there. That's what Don Fortner said one time. It's the only place I'd ever been in reform would have been reform school. And that's the only information I know anything about. But look what he said here in Galatians 3:21. Oh, talking about works or faith. And he gives us saving, justifying faith. And it says, is the law then against the promises of God? Is God's law and all his word and all the commandments, is all that against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law, if there had been something in God's word back in the old, you know, under the law and all the ceremonies and rituals, there had been a law given which could have given life, then righteousness would have been by that law. But, you know what he says? The scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's where we are. Huh? That the promise, by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. Given faith, and you believe. Oh, but listen, before faith came, we were kept under that law, kept under our own works, and we were shut up under the faith. Listen to this now, we're shut afterwards. Watch this happen now. Be revealed. It got to be revealed to you. Huh? Oh, my. Got to be revealed to you. Oh, my, ain't you grateful? It's a revelation. God revealed it to us. Oh, my. Then let me give you this. Not only is the cause of our faith and the author of our faith, but it says here is the finisher of our faith. You know what finisher means? It means to bring an end to. It means to perfect. It means to complete. You reckon our faith will stop? Oh, there's going to be an end to it one of these days. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me show you this. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1. I believe that's where it's at. Yeah, this is where it's at, yeah. You know, he's the finisher of our faith. And that means he's going to sustain it. He's going to maintain it. He's going to strengthen it. He's going to bring an end to it. He's going to complete it. He's going to perfect it. And that's why he says, you know, there in Hebrews 12:1, look at this great cloud of witnesses. And it says, these all died what? In faith. Christ brought an end to their faith. They died in that faith. But look what he said here. I think it's verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Oh, it's more precious than any gold. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, glory, and honor and glory unto the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though you see him not now, listen to this, yet believing, you rejoice in him with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now listen to this, receiving the end of it. There's going to be a time our faith will not be needed. Receiving the end of your faith, and that's when our souls enter into glory. Huh? That's the same thing he says over here in Hebrews. Let's go back over to Hebrews a minute. Oh my, such a great cloud of witnesses. Such a great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about Jacob and Abraham and Enoch and David and all of those who they died in faith. But oh my, these are witnesses faithful of the keeping power of the Lord. Those folks didn't have the promises we got. Those folks didn't have the word we've got. They didn't have the light we have. But they was looking to the promise, and they died looking to that promise. And I tell you, look what he says here. Oh, these folks believed in the keeping power of the Lord. Look in Hebrews 10:38. Oh, he's going to sustain it. He's going to finish this faith. You know, he which hath begun a good work in you, what does it say? He's going to perform it. He's going to perform it. He says in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. That's how people that's justified do. They live by faith. But if any draw back, not need Christ anymore. Not justified. Don't need faith anymore. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But oh, listen to what he says. But we are not of them who draw back unto damnation, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We believe till our soul gets into glory. You know, when we don't know what shape we're going to get in before we leave here. You may go into a coma. You may have a stroke. You may be brought to a place where you can't think, you don't believe, you can't do anything. Well, how in the world are you sure that your faith is going to result in you entering glory? Because he's the finisher of it. Not you, not me. I've seen folks in comas. I mean, folks go to where they don't know they're in this world. But they were believers before they got there. Your daddy got there. And they're believers before they get there. And they can't believe now. They can't even talk. They can't think. They can't move. They can't do anything. They can't do anything now. But their faith didn't start with themselves. And their faith ain't going to end with themselves. Christ's the author of it, and he's going to be the one to see it through all the way to the end. You're talking about a blessed hope. Huh? I told him back there, I said, I got up 3 or 4 times last night, and you said, are you nervous? Are you nervous? I told him, I got up 3 or 4 times trying to think. I've got to get up to get something, but I can't think of what you're supposed to get. And finally it dawned on me what I was going to get. So I did finally get up. But I up and down, trying to think, what? Now that's where your brain gets. What if it gets where you don't even know you're in the room? But I tell you what, that ain't going to stop our salvation. You know why? Because Christ started it. He's the author of it. And he's going to see the end of it. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know, and he gives us himself. And when he gives us faith, then he's going to sustain that faith. He's going to maintain that faith. He's going to keep that faith. He's going to keep us believing. There's three things I'll give you. First and foremost is, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall know, no man shall ever pluck them out of my hand. That's the first thing that he tells us, that our faith is secure and our salvation is secure. No man is going to pluck them out of my hand. Nobody. And the second reason is, he says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never, no, never, no, never, no, never, no, never forsake you. That's a good one, ain't it? And the third one is, he prays for us. Simon Peter, Satan sought to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you. How many times has Satan sought to sift us, and Christ prayed for us? Some danger, some obstacle in our way, I prayed for you. And oh, Thomas, he said, oh, them fellas said, we've seen Christ, we've seen Christ. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe, I'm just not going to believe. He spent 3 years with Christ, said, I'm not going to believe until I see. Our Lord stood before him and said, look here, Thomas. And he fell down and said, my Lord and my God. You know what our Lord said? Blessed as he has seen and believes, but more blessed is he who hasn't seen and yet he believes. Huh? And then I tell you what, he's going to bring it to its end. Look in Jude. Look in the book of Jude. He's going to bring this thing to an end. Oh, three things. He said, I give eternal life and nobody's going to pluck them out of my hand. And he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I tell you something. You take away Christ. You take away Christ, and faith dies. He's the author of it, and he's the finisher of it. And look what he said here in Jude verse 24. Oh, what a verse of scripture. Oh, what a powerful verse. Now unto him, that's what he says. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And not only keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Not only is he able to keep us from falling, but he's going to present us faultless. Like we are right now, that's the way he's going to present us. Oh, what a gospel, what a Savior, what a blessed Master we have. Our Father, oh, our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being with us. Thank you for your gospel. And Lord, I do so enjoy speaking of you and trying to say things about you and the things you've done for us. Lord, we believe because you gave us faith. And we'll continue to believe because you're the finisher of our faith. And so, Lord, keep us looking, keep us believing, keep us cleaving to our blessed Savior. Never, ever, by your grace, let us look to ourselves, have any confidence in this flesh in any way, shape, or form, or fashion. But look outside of ourselves to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. God bless these dear saints. And Lord, bless those that listen tonight. May they be encouraged. And may you open hearts and open understandings to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in his blessed name. Amen. Amen. All right, 51 in the hymn book. 51. We'll stand together and we'll sing this and then you'll be at liberty to go. 51. This is what we do. This is what we want to do. It's what we need to do. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us. He for conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms. arms us while we trust in Him. Trust in Him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those He loves from Him. Keep us, Lord, oh, keep us cleaving to Thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with Thee. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we would be. Things that are not now, never could be, soon shall be our own. Good night, and God bless you. Lord willing, I'll see you Wednesday.